ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதா நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனினா மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிருத வர்ஷிணீம் பகவதீம் அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினீம் அம்ப த்வாம் அனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணீம். நமோஸ்து தே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ரநேத்ர ஏனத்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ணா பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபா பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய ஸ்தோத்ர வேத்ரைக பாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிருத துஹே நமஹ. சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ தோக்தா கோபால நந்தனஹ பார்த்தோவத்சத்சுதீர்போக்தாம் கீதாமிருதம் மகத் வசுதேவசுதம் தேவம் கம்சசாணூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரதஜலா காந்தாரநீலோத்பலா சல்யக்ராஹவதீ கிருபேணவகனீ கர்ணேனவேலாகுலா அஸ்வத்தாமவிகர்ணகோரமகரா துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சோத்தீர்ணா கலு பாண்டவைரணநதீ கைவர்த்தகக்கேசவஹ பாராசர்யவசரோஜமமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோத்கடம் நானாக்யானகேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகே சஜ்ஜனஷட்பதைரஹரஹ பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜம் கலிமல பிரத்வம்சினஸ்ரேயசே மூக்கம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யத்கிருபாதமகம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம். யம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்துன்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவைஹி வேதை சாங்கபதக்ரமோபனிஷதைர் காயந்தி யம் சாமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தி யம் யோகினஹ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுசுராசுரகணா தேவாய தஸ்மை நமஹ. ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ணார்ப்பணமஸ்து. இன் தி லாஸ்ட் வெபினார் இன் தி சிக்ஸ்த் சாப்டர் வி ஃபினிஷ்ட் சம் ஹெல்ப் ஹி வில் ஆல்வேஸ் கோ டுவர்ஸ் ஹெல்பிங் தம் பட் ஆல் தோஸ் கண்டிஷன்ஸ் வில் நாட் அஃபெக்ட் ஹிம் பர்சனலி அட் ஆல். ஹி வில் டூ இட் ஆஸ் அ ஹியூமன் பீயிங், ஹி வில் டூ இட் ஆஸ் அ சர்வீஸ், பட் இட் வில் நாட் அஃபெக்ட் ஹிம் ஆஸ் அ பர்சன். த ரீசன் இஸ் வாட்? ஆல் தீஸ் ப்ளோஸ் தே ஆல் கேன் அஃபெக்ட் ஒன்லி வாட்? தி ஷரீரம். Only the body, the anatma, they can only affect the anatma, the body. It can take away people. Prarabdha can take away people. Prarabdha can take away wealth. It can take away health. It can take all of them. But whether I should be upset or not is purely based on my knowledge and my maturity. All those things will happen. Nobody can stop them. Nobody can stop prarabdha. But whether they affect me or not, that depends only on me, my knowledge and my maturity. That is why when a tragedy comes in a family, different members of the family react differently. For some people, it will be a deep sorrow for years. For some other people, they will think, oh, it's a fact of life. We have to live with it. Even though they are from the same family, they may have different maturity levels. It is very, very clear that it is not the tragedy itself that is the cause of sorrow, but the reaction is based on maturity. So the tragedy itself is not the cause of sorrow anytime. It is our reaction based on our own maturity, which in turn again based on our own knowledge. Our maturity is based on knowledge anyway. And if knowledge and maturity are there, the same situation can go without touching me at all, without affecting me at all. So nalini dalagata jalavate. So that is as the lotus leaf is not affected by, is not wet by the water drop. Sitting on that, this person will be also sitting in the midst of all those circumstances, but none of them will affect him. So for the jnani, there is no sambandha at all. He is asangaha. This person is asangaha. He has no association with them emotionally. So gatasu agatasumscha na anushochanti panditaha. That's what Krishna defined earlier itself. So the jnani is not going to be affected by any such situations. Throughout, we have to remember this particular fact. Then we will never have that kind of despair at all anytime in life. So Gita is actually meant for, Bhagavad Gita is meant for sloka nivritti. ఆల్ ది టైమ్, బికాస్ ఎవ్రీ టైమ్ ది శోక ఇస్ ద బిగ్గెస్ట్ ప్రాబ్లమ్. అర్జున స్టార్టెడ్ ది శోక, శోక మోహ ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ వర్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్ రైట్ ఇన్ ద బిగినింగ్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ది ఎంటైర్ గీత ఇస్ మెంట్ ఫర్ శోక నివృత్తి. సో గురుణామపి దుఃఖేన న విచాల్యతే, బికాస్ దిస్ పర్సన్ సీస్ ద ట్రాజిడీ యాజ్ బిలాంగింగ్ టు అనాత్మ ద బాడీ అండ్ హీ ఈస్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ అనాత్మ. ఐఎమ్ శుద్ధ చైతన్య స్వరూప ఆత్మ. సో ఐఎమ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ అనాత్మ, దే కెనాట్ టచ్ మీ అట్ ఆల్. దాట్ నాలెడ్జ్ హీ హ్యాస్ ఆల్ ది టైమ్. డిఫరెంట్ అనాత్మాస్ హ్యావ్ డిఫరెంట్ ప్రారబ్ధాస్, డిఫరెంట్ పీపుల్ హ్యావ్ డిఫరెంట్ ప్రారబ్ధాస్. హూ కెన్ స్టాప్ ఇట్? ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ దర్ ఓన్ మేకింగ్. అండ్ దిస్ అనాత్మ హ్యాస్ గాట్ అనదర్ ప్రారబ్ధ అండ్ దట్స్ ఆల్ హీ వ్యూస్ ఇట్. డిఫరెంట్ అనాత్మాస్ హ్యావ్ డిఫరెంట్ ప్రారబ్ధాస్. సో దిస్ అనాత్మ హ్యాస్ అనదర్ ప్రారబ్ధ, దట్స్ ఆల్ హీ థింక్స్. హీ డజంట్ పే ఎనీ మోర్, డజంట్ గివ్ ఎనీ మోర్ ఇంపార్టెన్స్ టు దాట్ అదర్ దాన్ దిస్ మచ్. So let it grow through the prarabdha which nobody can resist. People cannot resist prarabdha. You cannot regret that I got prarabdha, because that is the making, that is the karma phala. Nobody can do anything about it. One has to accept it. One has to know only how to deal with it than despairing that this is going to affect me. It will never affect me. And because why it does that? Because I identify myself with the body. If I identify myself with the body, it will always affect me. So problems do not go away, but jnani does not protest against the problems. That's the only difference. Problems do not disappear, they come and they stay, but for a jnani, he doesn't protest against them, he does not reject them, he accepts the problems. And what he does, he very intelligently, he hands them over to anatma. So he accepts the problem, he says this doesn't belong to me, it belongs to anatma, and hands it over to the anatma for it to deal with it, for it to suffer or enjoy. It does not affect him himself. So he receives them with both the hands, with open hands, and hands them over to anatma. Like for example, you know, if you refuse to receive, then the blow can be harder. If thieves come to the house, they want to steal something, they want to get the money from you, at that time what we should do? The more you resist, one can lose not only the money, the head also perhaps. So better give whatever you have to him. Do not resist. This is how prarabdha is. It is going to take away. We cannot just resist at all. So prarabdha gives, receives it, and give it to anatma, and be only a witness. That's what the jnani does. So gurunapapi dukkhena na vichalyate, this person is unshaken. So the fifth definition is what? Niratishaya sukha labha. That's what we saw in the same sloka. And the sixth definition is atyantika dukkhena nivritti. That is what the total freedom from sorrow. These are the six definitions so far. So now let us read the next shloka. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga sanghitam sanischayena yoktavyaha yogo nirvinna chetasa. Now, dukkha sanyoga viyogaha. Krishna is putting it in a very slightly tricky language here. He is giving the definition of jivan mukti as the dissociation from the association with sorrow. He could have been very straightforward, but he puts it as the dissociation from the association with sorrow. It's a very interesting definition. It is the dissociation. Dissociation is viyogaha. Viyogaha is dissociation. Dissociation from where? From the association samyoga. So samyoga is association, viyoga is dissociation. So it is the dissociation from the association dukkha, sorrow. So dissociation from the association with sorrow. Now we should see, why should Krishna give the definition in such a roundabout manner? He could have very straightforward told this, but he tells this in a very roundabout manner, and Krishna has a reason for that. Because in the previous definition, what we said, jivan mukti is the highest ananda. That's what we said in the previous sloka. It's the highest ananda. And later we said, jivan mukti is the highest gain. We said highest ananda once, and we said highest gain next. Krishna himself told both of them. And because of these definitions, one perhaps may think that jivan mukta gets the highest ananda. Because it's something to be gained, highest gain. And this highest ananda, one may think that this ananda has to be got. One has to gain means one has to get it. So in Jivan Mukti or Moksha, what will happen? Person will think we will get the highest ananda. So what is wrong with that? We can get the highest ananda. Nothing is wrong with that, right? One can get the highest ananda. But there is a big problem. The problem is what? If we say that Jivan Mukti means gaining the highest ananda, then the problem would be whatever gained will be always lost. That's the rule. Anything that is to be gained will always be lost. Why? Because it is gained. It's full stop. There is no other reason. It is gained, so it has to be lost. So samyoga, viparyogantaha, every association ends up in dissociation. This is always true. Every association ends up in dissociation. There is nothing called permanent association in Vedanta. There is nothing called a permanent association. So does the Jivan Mukta gain the highest ananda? If we say yes, then he gains, there is no problem. But the problem will be he will lose it also. Because whatever is gained has to be lost. Then what we have to say then? He does not gain highest ananda. Because then why Jivan Mukti at all? If something has to be lost, why to gain that thing at all? There is no need. So the answer would be, he discovers the highest ananda, which is his nature. It is not he is gaining highest ananda, he only discovers the highest ananda. He does not get anything. It is not something has to be got, he only discovers. Then why he has to discover the highest ananda? Because the ananda is covered. He has to only discover it. That's all he has to do. It's always covered. That's a very simple answer. Because he has to only remove the cover. The moment he discovers it, then he will be able to understand his own true nature. Actually, several examples normally are given for that. For example, when the gold is rubbed off of its impurity, when it shines, gold has not got a new shine. Gold is already shiny, but because it is covered by dirt, the moment we remove the dirt and polish the surface, then you can see the natural shine of gold. Shining is the very nature of gold. So whatever has obstructed the shining, that obstacle has to be only removed. So the moment that is removed, the natural shine can be seen. Similarly, here also what have we done? The dukkham belonging to anatma, the sorrow, whatever we feel it as sorrow, the one that is belonging to the anatma, whether it is sickness of the body or the ragadvesha of the mind, hunger, thirst, any suffering, whatever one can think of. All the defects of the intellect, any one of them, all these are all problems of what? Anatma. They are all anatma dharmas. Body will have all these problems. Body will have thirst. Body will have suffering. Body will have enjoyment. Nobody can stop it. We cannot put all of them on the atma. But what we do, whatever the problems of the body, we superimpose them on the atma. But the atma swarupa is covered by this manner. The moment we cover them with this manner, the atma swarupam is never known to us. This is what we call as what? Adhyasa. In Vedanta, this is called by a name, adhyasa, or superimposition. Adhyasa or superimposition, where the dukkham of the anatma we have falsely put on the atma. And so because of that, this is adhyaropita dukkham. Adhyaropita dukkham, swabhavika sukham is veiled. By this adhyaropita dukkham, the swabhavika sukham, my nature is only sukham, that is veiled, or that is covered as it were. Because of the superimposed sorrow, the original ananda is covered as it is. And so what we should do? The superimposed sorrow has to be only removed. Once that is removed, the original Atma Swarupa will be enjoyable by us all the time. So adhyaropita dukkham has to be negated. That is the first step. Adhyaropita dukkham should be negated. Then swabhavika sukham becomes evident. One doesn't have to go gain it or get it from anywhere. By just only removing this the adhyaropita dukkham, once it is negated, the swabhavika sukham will be naturally evident to that person. It need not be obtained. So swataha spurati. That is why there is this beautiful sloka which we normally use during our arati. When we do Karpur arati, we normally use this sloka. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhati कुतोयमग्निः तमेव भान्तम् अनुभाति सर्वं तस्य भाता सर्वमिदं विभाति. This is the shloka we always recite. So that is the Atma Swarupa is naturally shining. So Atmananda is Swataha Spurati by itself. It doesn't have to need any external agency to reveal it is that is its Swarupa. So what is required is not Ananda Prapti. There is nothing like an Ananda Prapti because Ananda is the very nature. There is nothing like an Ananda Prapti. Ananda is the very Swarupa. It is the very nature. So what is required is what? Is the separation from Dukkham. The separation from Dukkham, the dissociation from Dukkham, pushing aside the Dukkham. Only that is all required. Dukkham which belongs to Anatma should be given to Anatma only. One should not try to own up as the Dukkham belonging to the Atma, I. That is what is said here. Dukkha Yoga Viyogam. Dukkha Sanyoga Viyogam. Dissociation from association with sorrow. That alone is necessary. We don't require association with Ananda. We need only dissociation from Dukkha. We do not need association with Ananda because Ananda is myself. Ananda is myself, my very nature. I don't need association with Ananda. Ananda is very my very nature. Only I need dissociation with Dukkham. That is the seventh condition, seventh definition. Tam vidyat dukkha sanyoga viyoga. And all these seven definitions are that of what? Yoga sangitam. That's what Krishna says in the same sloka. Yoga sangitam. All these are called yoga. Jivan mukti is called yoga, is jivan mukti in this context. It is not the means, but the very end itself. This yoga, Jivan Mukti, is not any means. All other yogas are all means. Whereas here yoga is Jivan Mukti, the very end itself. So now we can summarize all the seven definitions that we have seen so far for Jivan Mukti. One is Chitta Uparamam, mental tranquility. Second one is Atma Darshanam, self-recognition, revealing oneself, one's own nature. Atyantikam Sukham, highest Ananda. Fourth one is Tattva Nishtha, being established in the reality, the ultimate truth. And fifth one is Niratishaya Labham, the highest gain. And sixth one is Atyantika Dukkha Nivrittihi, total freedom from sorrow or Dukkham. And the seventh definition which we just now is Dukkha Sanyoga Viyogaha, dissociation from association of sorrow. So these seven are called Yoga Sangeetam. They are called Yoga Sangeetam. Like Samya means name. Sangeetam means named. These are named. These seven are named as Jivan Mukta Lakshanam or Jivan Mukti Lakshanam. So these are the seven definitions Krishna has given. Now with this Jivan Mukta definition, that topic Krishna concludes with this thing here. So he is now going to take the other topic, the main topic of the sixth chapter that we already outlined earlier. He is coming to Nididhyasanam topic. So he concluded Jivan Mukta Lakshanam so far. Now he is coming to the Nididhyasanam topic. So Jivan Mukti or this particular gain, this is desired by all people. Everybody wants to have this infinite gain. It is decided by everybody. There is no this thing on in that all. Everybody requires that. So Arjuna, if you are interested in this Jivan Mukti, you have to practice what? Nididhyasanam, regularly and consistently. Nididhyasanam has to be practiced regularly and consistently. That is the idea. Actually, in Shravanam and Mananam, that will give you the knowledge. There is no doubt. By listening to all these things, it gives you the knowledge. Aham Brahma Asmi, that knowledge one can get, but that knowledge is not lived yet. That knowledge is gained though, but it is not lived yet. So there will be always a gap between what we know and what we live. Because unless you live that knowledge, one has not gained anything at all. So every student will face this problem all the time. This person will understand Vedanta. Aham Brahmasmi, if somebody explains to him, he will understand, no problem. But in day-to-day experiences, there will be a lot of difficulties in relating to that for this person. So reactions will still continue. Raga Dvesha will continue. Misbehavior, anger, anxiety, atripti, they will all continue in spite of his knowing aham brahma asmi. So he cannot live with that yet. So Vedanta promises freedom to all. I am a Vedantic student. I do understand the teaching. What you need is nididhyasanam. Not that you do not know Vedanta. You might know that. So Krishna says, yogaha yoktavyaha. He says, yogaha yoktavyaha. Yogaha means here nididhyasana. Previously, yoga was jivan mukti in the previous context. Now it is nididhyasana, which is the means here. Earlier, yoga we said as the end. So the word yoga is very tricky. Depending on, as I tell many times, depending on the context, one has to understand the meaning properly. Here, yoga means nididhyasana. This is a sadhana here, which is the means now. So this is a different yoga from the previous yoga and this one. So the yoga in the first line, which refers to jivan mukti, and the yoga in the second line now is sadhana, is nididhyasana. One should practice nididhyasana. How? Nischayena. Krishna says nischayena, with a firm resolve, giving primary value. All others are all secondary. This is what is primary thing for me. Not only that, anirvinna chetasa. Krishna is also careful in putting the words. With an undepressed mind. The mind should not be suppressed or depressed. So nirvinna means depressed. Nirvinna. Chetasa. Chetasa refers to mind. Why Krishna says undepressed mind? Because this change, assimilation of knowledge, is going to take place very, very slowly only. It cannot take place instantaneously. It is going to be a long process. It has to be gained over the entire lifetime perhaps. Because our negative reactions are very, very strong in our mind. Not just only gained in this birth. Because of all our purva janmas, all these, so many things, that those vasanas, they are still lingering in the mind. And because of that, they are all obstacles for assimilation of this knowledge. So the obstacles for the assimilation of this knowledge are too many. Anger is my nature. Without any reason, I get angry. People do all that. For some people, they will get angry just for anything. You cannot talk to him at all. The moment you go near him, he gets angry. People are all like that. So the obstacles to assimilation, all these viparita bhavana, they are all there. They superpower us all the time. They are so many that it is going to be a very, very slow process only. So it is not just a quick process. There is nothing like a quick fix. This is only a slow process. So in spite of our attempts, we are going to fall many times. Yes, we may be trying to do this way and that way, but we will be falling many times in spite of our very hard, earnest attempts. That should not create any disappointment or any depression. Because the moment you don't succeed, once or twice is fine, 4, 5, 6, 7 times, people naturally may get depressed. They may perhaps give up. They may be disappointed. So Krishna says very strongly, with a firm resolve, with an undepressed mind. That is what one should do to approach this process. So Uttishtata, Jagrata, they are all difficult processes. But even though they are difficult processes, they are the only way one may be able to overcome these conditions. We have to only practice. So practice Nididhyasana with a firm and undepressed mind. That's what Krishna says. This Jivan Mukti, Krishna calls as a yoga. Tadvidyatim Dukkha Sanyoga Viyogam Yoga Sanyitam. It is known as yoga. And since the yoga can be achieved only by Nididhyasanam, therefore Krishna, Arjuna, Sa Nischayena Yoktavyo Yogaha Anirvinna Chetasa. Tasmat, therefore, that's understood. You have to understand that. Tasmat. Tasmat Saha Yogaha Yoktavyaha. In the second line, yogaha means Nididhyasanam, as we said earlier, and it is not Jivan Mukti. We have to remind ourselves, even though in the same sloka, we get two different meanings. We should know which meaning to take at what context. In the first line, yoga means jivan mukti. Yasmat nididhyasanam jivan muktim karoti sadayati tasmad nididhyasanam kuryat. So that is how we should understand in this context the both yoga, both the terms of yoga. Krishna did not say you may do, he never says you may do. He doesn't give you a choice. He says you should do. With these four shlokas, the Dhyana Phalam topic also is covered. Because as we told, in the sixth chapter, there are 3-4 topics and we should try to fit each shloka to one of those four topics, and these shlokas, they fit into the Dhyana Palam topic. Now we will go to the 24th shloka. We will read it.
Sankalpa prabhavan kaman tyaktva sarvana seshatah manasaivendriya gramam viniyamya samantatah.
Actually, in these two shlokas, Krishna is coming back to the old topic which we already saw earlier, Dhyana Swarupam. The Dhyana Swarupam topic, he comes back, which he has already said in the 18th and 19th shlokas, which we saw elaborately at that time, the Dhyana Swarupam topic. It is almost the same as those two verses here also, but only put in a slightly different language. And what is the essence of Dhyanam? The mind should get away from the Anatma thought, all thoughts associated with the body, Anatma. The mind should get away from them and it should get into the thoughts centered on Atma, Atma thought. So remove Anatma thought and center them on Atma thoughts. So Anatma Vritti Nikarana Purvakam Atma Vritti Abhyasaha Iti, that is Dhyanam. That is what the Dhyanam should be. And in this shloka, Krishna is referring to the first part. What is the first part? Getting away from Anatma Vritti, all thoughts centered on Anatma, all thoughts centered on the body. In the next shloka, Krishna is going to talk about the second part, where it is Atma Vritti Abhyasaha, that is to focus all the thoughts towards Atma. He will talk about it later. Now, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman Tyaktva. The first basic condition is what? Kama Tyagaha. One should be able to get away from Kama desires, which we otherwise call it what? Vairagyam. We call this condition, one can get away from the desires, we call it Vairagyam. It is an important precondition actually for a successful meditation. One has to do successful meditation. The important condition is what? One should be able to get out of desires, inordinate desires and excessive desires. This is a precondition. Actually, Krishna is going to emphasize it later. But he is going to say, Abhyasena tu kaunteyam vairagyena cha grihyate. He is going to say at that time. Why do we say vairagyam is important then? Kama should not be there. Because the tendency of the mind always is what? To run after an object of desire, an attachment. So as long as there are objects of attachment, the mind will be running towards them all the time. Because that is its nature. And so one should get out of this by what? Nityam Anityam Vastu Vivekaha. What is Nitya Vastu? What is Anitya Vastu? By differentiating between them, by using buddhi and knowledge, one should develop that quality, one should develop that ability and should try to get out of that. And this attachment or desire itself comes actually not in one stage, it comes in two stages. Kama or desire does not directly come to anybody. The desire doesn't just come. Actually, it is like if you take a plant or a tree or a plant, no tree just like that comes by itself. Initially, the tree is in what form? It is in a seed form. Then it becomes like a sprout. Then as a plant, then the plant only becomes a tree. So in the tree form, if we really try to destroy that, then destroying a tree is going to be very difficult because it's already grown, it's so big. It is very difficult to destroy that. But if we are intelligent, we can destroy the seed or the plant or the sprout very quickly, very easily. The moment you allow that to become a tree, it is difficult. But as a seed or a sprout, easy to do it. But then it becomes simple. Similarly, removing kama is very difficult. Any desire, very difficult to remove. So one should go to the root of kama. What is the basis for this desire? What is the root of this kama? One should analyze and one should go towards that. And that is called the root of kama. This is called sankalpaha. Repeated thinking of an object of desire, that alone leads me to that particular condition. Kamam, see, kama janami te moolam. That's a very beautiful sloka actually. Sankalpatvam prajayate natvam sankalpayishyamim kampishyamim samulastvam vinashyati. That is what the sloka says. Actually, one great seeker, he is addressing kama, kama desire. He says, O kama, you don't think that you can attack me at all, because I know what is your root. Te moolam janami. I know your moolam. I know your root. What is that? Sankalpatvam prajayate. When I look at an object or person, kama does not come immediately. Perception takes place first. When I look at any object, when I hear anything, only perception takes place first. The vritti comes in the form of the object. Okay. Maybe the most attractive object it could be. Even that, it will not produce kama immediately. Then what is required? Sankalpa. So, jayato vishayan pumsaha. Krishna has already told earlier, sangasteshupa jayate. So, first darshanam, the first occurrence, the first time a person sees, it can never produce kama. When you look at anything first time, it requires tremendous cooperation from whom? From myself, for that first darshanam to end up as a firm desire. Even if the object is gone, we looked at something, we perceived something, the object is no more in my front. But what still happens? It continues to be in my mind. After the bell is rung, the dvani still continues. Even though bell is gone, dvani still continues. So even though the object is vanished, still the thought about the object continues in my mind. So the mind tries to look back mentally that object and tries to relish it again and again. That's what the mind tries to do it. And it, when it enjoys mentally, it feels the need for that object. First only it perceived, then it started to enjoy, then later it feels the need for the object. Because I think I am better off in the presence of that object. So why can't I own it? That is what the mind now starts to tell us, and it goes on repeating this thought over and over again. And as we told in this section earlier, initially I say it is nice, and it is only an object, you know, it's a statement. And then I say it is worth having it. And third, I say I want it. And fourth, I say without it, I have no life. I think I cannot live without it. At that stage, it is extremely difficult. It becomes a kama. It is like a tree now. It is very, very difficult to get rid of it. It is nice. It's like a seed. It's worth having it. It's like a sprout. I want it. It's like a plant. I cannot live without it. It's a tree now. Very, very difficult to cut off this tree at this stage. So in meditation, one should not allow this to happen at all. So Krishna says, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kaman Tyaktva. Arjuna, give up the kamas which are born out of Sankalpa. That very first thought. The moment you see a thing, that perception, at that level itself, get rid of it. Sankalpaha eva prabhavaha. Moolam yasya saha kama. So prabhavaha means moolam. So that which has sankalpa as the moolam. That, and by adding this adjective, what does Krishna indicate? Never try to directly attack kama anytime. You will only fail. Never try to attack kama directly. Always try to attack the sankalpa. Hit at the root. Krishna never says hit at the kama itself, but hit at the root. Actually, Ravana had 10 heads. Rama went on shooting off and taking away all the 10 heads, till Ravana did not die. Because the root was not in those heads, it was in his heart. So only when Rama shot at his heart, Ravana could be taken. So when he strikes the root, then only it becomes successful. Similarly here also, sankalpa tyagena kama tyagam kuru. Sankalpa tyagena, by getting rid of the sankalpa, the first thought, the first perception, at the seed level itself, you do kama tyaga. Okay, how many desires should I give up? You know, how many can I have actually? Because people may always try to bargain. Okay, you are asking me to get rid of all the desires. Tell me how many I can have at all. Give me some 10%, 5%, you know, like money. For this much amount, even government, you know, puts a tax only for above a certain amount. Up to this money, you can have that money without any problem. After that, you have to pay tax. So is there anything like that in kama, in desire? Can I have some level of karma, kama, which I can tolerate, above which it is going to be dangerous? Krishna says, సర్వాన్ త్యక్త్వా, హీ డజన్ వాంట్ ఈవెన్ గివ్ అ స్లైటెస్ట్ ఛాన్స్, ఆల్ ది డిజైర్స్ వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఎక్సెప్షన్ పీరియడ్. సర్వాన్ త్యక్త్వా, కెన్ వీ హ్యావ్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్? యాక్చువల్లీ స్వామీజీ గివ్స్ ఎ వెరీ వెరీ నైస్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్. వెన్ యూ సంబడీ ఆస్క్ కెన్ ఐ హ్యావ్ అట్లీస్ట్ వన్ థాట్, ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ఎ మస్కిటో. విత్ ఇన్ వన్ మస్కిటో ఇన్ సైడ్ యువర్ మస్కిటో నెట్ ఇస్ అడిక్వైడ్ ఫర్ ద రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ద నైట్ టు బి ఇట్స్ గోయింగ్ టు బి హెల్ యాక్చువల్లీ, ఇట్స్ వెరీ ప్రాబ్లమ్. సో వన్ డిజైర్ ఇస్ అ బగ్, అండ్ సో కృష్ణ డస్ నాట్ కాంప్రమైజ్ అట్ ఆల్, నాట్ ఈవెన్ వన్ డిజైర్ హీ వాంట్స్ టు అలావ్. సర్వాన్ త్యక్త్వా, అండ్ హౌ షుడ్ ఐ రినౌన్స్ ఇట్? అశేషత త్యక్త్వా, కంప్లీట్లీ వన్ షుడ్ గెట్ రిడ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్, నాట్ జస్ట్ ఓన్లీ యు నో సమ్ పర్సంటేజ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్, ఇట్ షుడ్ బి గాటన్ రిడ్ ఆఫ్ కంప్లీట్లీ. నిర్లేపేన, దట్స్ ఎ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్ యూసేజ్, నిర్లేపేన. శంకరాచార్య యూసెస్ దిస్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్, ఇట్స్ వెరీ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్. నిర్లేపేన హీ యూసెస్ దిస్ వర్డ్ బికాస్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ఇఫ్ యూ టేక్ ఆయిల్ అండ్ ఆయిల్ ఇన్ టేక్ ఆయిల్ ఇన్ అ బాటిల్, దెన్ యూ పోర్ ద ఆయిల్ కంప్లీట్లీ, యూ పోర్ ఇట్ కంప్లీట్లీ, యూ పుట్ ఇట్ ఆన్ సమ్ వెసల్ ఆల్సో, యూ థాట్స్ ఆల్ కంప్లీట్ టు రిమూవ్ ఇట్ కెప్ట్ ఇట్ డౌన్. You come back after 5 minutes, you will still see oil inside the bottle. Because all the oil that is sticking on the walls of the bottle, they would still be there. They are not going to be gone. So they are going to be still there. According to you, you have put the hole. But still, all these things are remaining. So aseshataha means nirlepena. Nothing should be left at all. It should be completely gone. Even sticking to the mind, some trace of it may be there somewhere. Even that you get it off. సో నిర్లేపేన త్యక్త్వా, అండ్ దెన్ వాట్ ఇంద్రియ గ్రామం వినియమ్య, ఇంద్రియ గ్రామం వినియమ్య, ది ఫైవ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్. ఇంద్రియ గ్రామ మీన్స్ ఆల్ ది ఫైవ్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్, గ్రామ మీన్స్ సమూహ. యాక్చువల్లీ ఇన్ అవర్ విలేజెస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ దే విల్ హ్యావ్ ఏ సమూహ మఠం, దే విల్ హ్యావ్ ఏ స్మాల్ అసోసియేషన్ ఆఫ్ ఫర్ ఆల్ ది పీపుల్. గ్రామ ఇట్స్ ఎ కలెక్షన్, ఎనీ కలెక్షన్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ సమూహ ఆర్ గ్రామ. సో ఈ విలేజ్ ఈస్ కాల్డ్ ఏ సమూహ ఏ గ్రామం బికాస్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కలెక్షన్ ఆఫ్ సో మెనీ పీపుల్, సో మెనీ హౌసెస్, సో మెనీ ఫ్యామిలీస్. Okay, so this is Indriya Gramam, the collection of sense organs, that is called Indriya Gramam. Viniyamya, Viniyamya means withdrawn. So what? Samantataha, from all directions, because eyes may draw you in one direction, ears may draw you in another direction, mouth may, the tongue may draw you in another direction, from all directions a person has to withdraw. So shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha, from all the five sense objects, the sense organs must be withdrawn. With the help of what? Manasa. Manasa eva. Why? With the help of the mind. One should be able to withdraw all the sense organs from all directions with the help of the mind. We have to persuade the mind. We have to train the mind. Sense organs have to be managed by the mind alone. How are we managing sense organs? Through our mind only. So manasa, indriya gramam, viniyamya. These are all the first part, getting out of anatma vritti. We have not still come to atma yet. We are still talking about anatma vritti is only getting rid of anatma vritti. Later, atma vritti is going to come actually in the next shloka, which we will read. Shloka 25.
Shanai shanai ruparamete buddhyadriti grihitayam atma samstammana krutva nakinjita vichintayete.
So what is the next stage now? Krishna talked about all the anatma vritti so far. What will be the next stage?
Shanai shanaihi uparamet.
One should gradually withdraw from anatma. Anatma means what? From the three shariams or panchakoshadebhyah. So one can, the shariram can be looked at as either consisting of the three shariams, the sthula shariram, the grass body, sukshma shariram, subtle body, and karana shariram, causal body. That is one way of looking at it. Or one can look at it as consisting of five sheets, koshas. Annamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha, and anandamaya kosha. So either it could be shariratrayam or it could be panchakoshas. Shanaihi uparamet. Why does he ask to be removed only shanaihi gradually? Because we will not be able to come from the external world suddenly to the Atma. It is very difficult. If somebody prescribes a method to say, okay, you withdraw from the external world, come to straight Atma, very difficult for anybody to comprehend that. Because the external world is the grossest and the Atma is the subtlest. From the grossest to the subtlest, the travel has to be only gradual. it cannot be a shock, cannot be a shocking travel at all, because we cannot grow from the grasses to the subtlest at one step. We should go from Annamaya Kosha to Pranamaya Kosha, from Pranamaya Kosha to Manomaya Kosha. Each one is less grasser compared to the previous one. And Pranamaya to Manomaya, Manomaya to Vijnanamaya, Vijnanamaya to Anandamaya, and Anandamaya to Atma. So from the grasses, through the grass, grasser, grass, subtler, subtle, and that is how we reach. So we have to gradually withdraw from Kosha to Kosha, Annamaya Kosha to Pranamaya Kosha, that kind of thing. We have to slowly go. So the methodology used for teaching must be the methodology used for what? For Nididhyasanam also. Because that is how one should be able to withdraw. If we don't do that, if you suddenly sit and do Nididhyasanam, it may last for maybe a couple of seconds, immediately it will derail. It's going to be very difficult. So the way it is to be done, the way the analysis is there, in the same order only, you should be withdrawn also. So while teaching, the teacher, what he does, he goes from grasser to the subtler. That's what he does. So meditation also should be in the same way. Teacher first starts from the Annamaya Kosha, that is the grassest. From there gradually he goes and finally goes to Atma. In the same way, Nididhyasanam also, meditation, Vedantic meditation also should gradually withdraw, not suddenly withdraw. There should not be a jerk or a shock. So from Kosha to Kosha, mind has to be withdrawn. So with whose help one should withdraw this? That will be the next question. Krishna says, Buddhya, using Buddhi, with your intellect, you try to withdraw using your intellect. And what type of intellect it is? An intellect which has already got Shravanam and Mananam. It is not just any intellect. It is not a raw intellect. This intellect has already got the information through Shravanam and Mananam about the concepts of Vedanta. He is now trying to only assimilate in Nididhyasanam. He is not anything, learning anything new. Whatever is already learned through Shravanam and Mananam, the intellect which is endowed with this information, that intellect is what is being talked about here. So this Pancha Kosha Viveka cannot be done by anybody and everybody. Only when a person has this knowledge, this training, he alone will be able to practice this particular Abhyasa. He must have already studied the Shastras. He must have gone to a teacher, already should have learned. He must have already heard and understood how Annamaya Kosha is not Atma. He should know that. How Pranamaya Kosha is not Atma. He should know that. All this information he should first know. Because Nididhyasanam, at the time of Nididhyasanam, there is nothing known new. All things which are already known earlier through Shravanam and Mananam alone are practiced and assimilated. There is no new knowledge at all. It is only living or reliving whatever I already know. Whatever I already know, I relive. Knowing is through Shravanam, as I told earlier. Nididhyasanam is for assimilation or living. So I must remember the reason. Annamaya Kosha is matter. I should understand that all the time. It is matter. It is changing all the time. It is always supposed to have the vikaras. While I am the awareness principle. Annamaya, my body can be changing. Whereas I am the awareness principle who is aware of Annamaya Kosha. Who is aware of Pranamaya Kosha. I am aware of all the various koshas. Who is the changeless witness of Annamaya Kosha? I see what is happening. I was a child. I became a youth. Kaumaram, Yauvanam, Jara. I went through all these stages. I have seen through all these stages. But I am the same person. I have witnessed all these stages. They have not affected me as a person, as Atma. But I have seen, I have been a silent witness of all these things happening to this body. I have gone through them. So, Buddhya means what? Atma, Anatma, Viveka, Yuktaya, Buddhya. So, that Buddhi which is endowed with Atma, Anatma, Viveka. With the Buddhi which has got this Viveka, then onwards, when the mind has got some worry, for example, or depression, again the Vedanta will help me. It will tell, worry is a thought. The thought can rise, it can exist, it can go away. It can always be there, doesn't matter, but it will not affect me. Worry is nothing but a thought only. Whereas I do not come along with the thought anytime.
I am separated, removed from those thoughts. They are changing nature. I am ever unchanging. I am before the worry. I am before the worry thought also I was there. I am there during the worry. I am still there. And once the worry is gone also, I am there. I am ever changeless. Worries will change. So the awareer of worry, I am free from worry. I am the awareer of worry. As the awareer of worries, I am free from worries. That is the knowledge I should have. I must be able to withdraw from all the pancha anatmas. All the pancha anatmas are what? All the pancha koshas. Annamaya, manomaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, nanandamaya koshas. They are the pancha anatmas. I should be able to withdraw from all of them. And what type of buddhi it should be? Krishna says very firmly, dhriti grihitaya. A buddhi which is endowed with dhritihi. Dhritihi means determination, willpower, resolve, nischaya. That is the firmness of mind. With that dhriti, it should be very firm mind. Because only if the buddhi is firm, only when the intellect is firm, mind can be controlled. Otherwise, mind, what is the nature of mind? Sankalpam vikalpatmakam manaha. The nature of mind is always to vacillate. Whereas buddhi is nischayatmika buddhihi. The nature of buddhi is to make a firm determination. A resolve should be a strong determination with knowledge, with awareness. That's what this diet. That's why in the chariot example, what they said, buddhi is compared to the what? The driver. The chariot example we saw earlier, buddhi is compared to the driver. Only if the driver is steady, then he can do a steady job, a good job. If he is himself not steady, the chariot will drag him wherever it wants to drag him. Horses will drag him wherever they want to drag him. So with a steady driver in the form of buddhi, one should gradually withdraw the mind. That's what Krishna says in Nididhyasanam. With the buddhi, as the, in the form of buddhi with a steady driver, one should be able to gradually withdraw the mind. And then what should he do? Atma samstam manakritva. The culmination is making the mind abide in the self. That's what one should do. Abide, the mind should be made to abide in the self. So manaha atma samstam. Atma samstam refers to abiding. Atmani samstam. Atma samstam is atmani samstam. Abiding in the self. Atma. Kritva, having made. So having made the mind abide in the self. Na kinjitabi chintayet. One should not think of anything else at all. Having done this, one should not think of anything else at all. Here also we should remember, actually it has been already indicated in the 17th and 18th, 19th slokas also. This is a very important point. What do we mean by making the mind abide in the self? Because that is another, people may have confusion in all these questions. What do we mean by making the mind abide in the self? Do we mean that gradually the mind will come down? Like for example, a parachute. A parachutist is now jumping out of a plane. Gradually he will come down and settle on the ground. So by abiding the mind, by abiding the self, do we mean that gradually the mind will come down like a parachutist and then settle on the self? Because these are all words which we can write and read, but you know, they can be confusing all the time. But suppose you sit and practice meditation. Somebody sits and practice meditation and suddenly someone says to him, make the mind abide in the self. Because normally when you go to meditation classes, they normally give you instructions. You sit in this Padmasana pose, take some deep breath so many times, close your mind and think of this thing and let all the breathing be normal. They go on giving a lot of instructions, right? So when somebody comes and tells you, you sit like that and make your mind abide in the self. Another instruction given. Because when somebody gives an instruction like that, that sentence does not mean anything to me at all. Make the mind abide in the self. Then what do I understand by that? Really speaking, everything in the world is abiding in the self only. So what is new he is telling? It is not a new instruction he is giving. He is telling abide in the self means what? Krishna is everything in the world is abiding in the self only. There is nothing new. So self is the adhishtanam of everything. And that is a fact. So whether it is in the mind, the body, or the remotest star or galaxy, doesn't matter. They all abide in the self only. Really speaking, everything is Atman alone. Because there is nothing other than Atma that we know. So there is no question of anything abiding in the self. When Krishna says abide in the self, there is nothing like abiding in the self. Everything is in the self only. Then what do we mean by this sentence actually when Krishna says abide in the self? Mind abiding in the self means the vrittis of the mind, the various thoughts of the mind should be centered on the self. That's what he means. Abide in the self means the various vrittis of the mind, the various thoughts of the mind should be centered on the self. And this should be very, very clear actually. So, Atma Vishayaka Vrittim Kuryat. So, whatever thoughts you have, you are going to have, let those thoughts all be Atma Vrittis. Atma Vishayaka Vrittim Kuryat. Atma Anusandhanam Kuryat. That is Ramaraya Kavi. That's what he writes. Atma Anusandhanam Kuryat. There is no other abidance other than this particular thing alone. So, Atma Vishayaka Vrittim Kuryat means, till now, what I was doing, I had the vritti in the form of aham manushyaha asmi, aham pita asmi, I am mata. All those things, that's what I was thinking. All those relationships, all that thing, that's what I'm thinking myself. Thus, I had always vrittis, thoughts centered around the ego. The wrong or the crooked eye. Swamiji calls it as a crooked eye, the small eye. The long, this tall eye, the firm eye, big eye, that is the eye, the self. Whereas the crooked eye is the ego, ahankara eye. So that's why it is crooked. But now the vrittis are centered on the atma, the right eye. During the vidyasanam, all the thoughts are centered on the I, the consciousness. I, the aware. I, the self. The capital I. So aham purnosmi, aham brahmasmi, aham nityosmi, aham triptosmi. These are all the thoughts I have. I never think that I lack something. Aham Purnaha Asmi all the time. Aham Tripto Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Mithyo Asmi. I am ever eternal. These are the thoughts. So it is not a thoughtless stage. It is a stage with thoughts only centered around the Atma. So the entire essence of the second chapter, actually Shlokas 12 to 24, that is what is all given here. Veda Vinashinam Nityam Yayenam Ajamavyayam. We already saw the shloka earlier. Katam sa purusha partham kam gatayati hanti kam. All those shlokas we saw earlier. Aham akartam abokta satsvarupaha nirvikaraha asmi. That is the knowledge I should have all the time. All those things mentioned in the second chapter, I relive. During shravanam, I heard all of them. During mananam, I got rid of all my doubts regarding them. But now in Nididhyasanam, I am trying to relive all those teachings, all that knowledge that I gathered during Shravanam and Mananam. So I have no problems. I have no complaints. I have no worries. And this vritti alone should be entertained. So it is not a thoughtless stage. It may have thoughts, but those thoughts are all centered on Atma. I have no worries. No worries can bind me. That's the kind of thought. That is why Krishna says, Na kinchit apim chintaye. And again, here also one may get some confusion. Because Krishna says like that, one should not think of anything else also. For example, people interpret that, it is, as I mentioned earlier, it is a thoughtless stage. Nididhyasanam is a thoughtless stage. In thoughtless state, what benefit normally I get if it is a thoughtless stage? Maybe I may get some relaxation for a few minutes. For that, I can sleep very well. If I can take a deep sleep, I am in a thoughtless stage because nothing is happening. I am even beyond dream state. I have a deep sleep. I am very relaxed. When I get up, I am very happy. No problem at all. So if I go to thoughtless stage, I may get some relaxation. That is true. That value may be there, but not assimilation value. I may get relaxation value for the time being for the body and mind, but I may not have assimilation value of this teaching at all. So Vedantic assimilation value will not be there if I just practice thoughtless stage alone. So if one says I want relaxation only, fine, that's good, no problem at all. He can relax, he can sleep and get some rest, that's all okay. But it is not going to contribute to assimilation of this knowledge in the mind. So, na kinchit api chintayet. That means what? Atmanam muktva kinchit api chintayet. One should not think of any anatma at all. One should not think of any anatma at all. all the thoughts should be centered only on Atma. Other than Atma Vritti, no other Vritti should be entertained. This is what we said actually in the previous sloka. In the yesterday, in the last class, maybe when we saw this, Vijatiya Vritti is avoided. Sajatiya Vritti alone is entertained. Sajatiya Vritti means what? Vritti about the Atma alone is entertained. All the Vijatiya Vrittis centering on the Anatmas are completely avoided. They are not entertained at all. This is called Vedantic meditation. It is not a thoughtless meditation. It can be a meditation with lot of thoughts, but all thoughts should be centered on Atma alone. And the confusion is possible because knowing this only Shankaracharya, he is very, you know, Shankaracharya, he, today it's very nice that we are able to remember one of his another slokas also. He has helped us through Dhyana slokas like the Nirvana Shatkam. There are slokas like Nirvana Shatkam where he writes so nicely, Mano Buddhi Ahankara Chittani Naham Nacha Shrotra Jihve Nacha Grana Netre Nacha Vyoma Bhumihi Na Tejo Na Vayuhu. I am not any of them at all. I am not any one of them. Not the body, not the mind, not the senses, not any of those things listed here. Who am I? Chidananda Rupaham Shivoham Shivoham. And that is that vritti. That knowledge, that thought alone should be in the mind all the time. It is a vritti only, it is a thought only. But we should entertain Atma Vritti, rejecting Anatma Vritti during Nididhyasana. That's what Krishna is trying to emphasize to us. So even there is an Anatma Vritti, even that is also okay. When? If you have a vritti that this is mithya. For example, if we say it should be Atma Vritti alone should be there, that's fine. But if there is an Anatma Vritti also is okay, provided we know that is mithya vritti. We should know it is ephemeral. It is not permanent. It is illusive. It is mithya. So long as that is there, that is also Atma Vritti only. Because that is also Vedantic thinking. It is not different thinking at all. So we don't mind having the worldly thought also in Nididhyasana. Because normally people think Nididhyasana means a person should go sit in a corner with Padmasana posture, close to his eyes, and then all looking very serious, and then, you know, should not even smile. People all have all kinds of thinking about this kind of meditation. All those things are not necessary at all. A person can be doing regular work, but at the back of the mind, always this thought is there. Aham Purnosmi, Triptosmi. Even I am going through all the situations, they are all associated with Anatma. They are all mithya. They have no truth at all behind them, no reality behind them. So that awareness, that knowledge, that should be there constantly in the mind. So the Sat of the object is Atma, the Chit is Atma. So whatever mithya object also we think, the Sat of that object is Atma, the existence principle of that object, the awareness principle, Chit, is also Atma, the Anandam is that Atma I am. That knowledge should be there all the time, centered in the thoughts. So what all other things have only Nama Rupas. They are only name, form, maybe functions also, whereas I am beyond all those things. So either Brahma Satyam Vritti one can have, or Jagat Mithya Vritti also one can have. So during Nididhyasanam, one can have any of them. Brahma Satyam Mithi, fine, centered on Atma, or Jagat Mithya Vritti centered on Mithya. Both are Atma Vritti only, provided a person can practice it that way. Both are Vedantic Vritti only. That's what we should understand. We don't accept that Jagat Satyam Vritti, that alone should not be there. Jagat Mithya Vritti is fine. Jagat Satyam Vritti, that should not be there, because that is not Vedantic thinking. And that is what Krishna says here. Atma Samstam Manakritva Nakinjite Apichintayet. And here also Krishna says this should be in two stages. If I try to avoid Anatma Vritti, but Anatma Vritti comes and goes. It is called Dhyana. It will always coming and going. But when I succeed in excluding Anatma Vritti and Atma Vritti alone is there, that is called Samadhi. So between Dhyanam and Samadhi, that is the difference. When I am trying to do this thing, avoid this, Anatma Vritti comes and goes. It is called Dhyanam. Whereas when I am in Samadhi, I succeed in excluding all Anatma Vrittis. Atma Vritti alone is there in the mind. That is called Samadhi, and that is Atma Vritti. So undisturbed meditation is Samadhi. Disturbed, we can call it crudely. Disturbed meditation is dhyana. Between dhyanam and samadhi, we are trying to differentiate some undisturbed meditation. That is called samadhi. A disturbed meditation where the anatma vrittis come and goes. Anatma vritti comes, you hit it, saying that no, this is anatma subject, it is not me. Throw it. So this coming and going, that is called the dhyana. Still you are practicing it. Whereas in samadhi, that has become your nature. So dhyanam is an attempt, whereas samadhi is success. Once samadhi stage comes for this person, spontaneously he understands his nature as Atma Swarupaha. That Krishna himself will be beautifully, he will be giving these points subsequently in the next shlokas, which we'll see next week. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwarah. Shri Krishna arpanamastu.